Strange Days Indeed continues with Errol Bruce now on UFO News Radio, CFRB 1010.
The close of 2001 and no obelisks have been spotted. A lot of oddities been going on through this past year, particularly on the UFO updates list. A name and a voice that must be familiar to you, Mike Woods. He works in the newsroom of his Toronto TV station, which could cause him to have an odd take on many of life's oddities. We like what he has to say. He's one of our favorite mouths. And his white convertible with a UFO guy license plate is most cool. Michael J. Woods, good to have you back on the program.
Yeah, it's been a while, Errol.
It has, hasn't it? I'm well, thank you. Are you living a more normal life now with Saturday nights off?
Yeah, I've been enjoying my Saturday nights. Been sort of directing my research efforts in another area right now, not totally focused on UFOs, mainly because of a novel I'm about to start writing. Took a tiptoe through the UFO archives on the Virtually Strange Network, and the year 2001, when we look back at it, it starts and ends most appropriately with Roswell. Back in January, the hot debate in amongst the hundreds of subscribers to UFO updates was, where exactly were the Roswell crash sites? You can keep buying drinks all night in any bar in Roswell arguing which is the actual crash site.
Now, is it the Hub Corn? Or
is it the Corn? Is it Raglan? Raglan, is it?
Ragsdale.
Ragsdale, pardon.
The Ragsdale Rock up in the Capitan Mountains.
February found us with the return of a rather well-known personality. Mr. Bell returned the air and promptly dropped out of sight again. Once again, the space exploration ferries opened up their vaults and dropped on us a whole bunch of new Cydonia pics. Got to tell you, took a look at them, and that's not natural. I don't care what happened. Same thing in February. Those good folks whose TV network is owned by an Australian and they're synonymous with weasel, they did their moon landing hoax program.
Pox on you.
Exactly. Pox on them. The arguments were so lame on the moon landing as a hoax special that my 12-year-old son watched it with me and was pointing at the flaws in their argument. And in February, the unkillable alien autopsy came up for its 287th kicking about. That's what we did with them.
We're almost due for another bunch of that, too, aren't we?
You know, actually, I'd heard that Martin Scorsese was the director of the alien autopsy films. It was an early work. That should be a good rumor. That should keep us going through March. Okay, in March and April of last year, the only topic of discussion was disclosure. Did another round and round about the debunker's guidebook. Who was a good debunker? Who was a bad debunker? What constitutes debunking? How closed does your mind have to be to qualify as a debunker? And frankly, some of the people who are supposedly UFO people are so closed-minded, they would qualify as debunkers if they didn't agree that there's something to UFOs. In May, our good friend Nick Velasquez made an appearance on my place of employment at City TV and was greeted with, on the list, they were surprised, the people who saw him, that there were unbiased media that were more than prepared to just listen. Remember, though, it's early morning TV. We're in shock. We're in so much sleep.
Yeah, not too many smart-arsed questions at that time of the morning.
June and July was just pathetic this year. You talk about the dog days of summer. Even the aliens were on vacation. Evidently, Alpha Centauri was the hot spot this year. There was a little bit of chupacabra activity, and then at month's end, orange flares over New Jersey. August brought us one of the things I found most personally offensive in the UFO genre this year. And that was a rather ill-fated hunger strike. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Wait a sec. It just means I'm not eating bologna sandwiches on alternate Tuesdays.
Oh, you mean dieting for disclosure.
Exceptional waste of bandwidth.
Well, we spent a moment or three on this program on it as well, one way or another.
On the plus side, Chris Rutowski out in Winnipeg, usual brilliant job. Annual Canadian statistics for sightings, and they were up slightly this year. We tend to wonder whether or not this just being fashionable, if it's cyclical. Well, the numbers are still there. It's the cumulative science. It's not the blinding insight. It's not the guy in the white lab coat jumping up going, Eureka! It's going to be the accumulation of data, the patient observation, the application of scientific principles to the research. I mean, that's the end of it. And then we hit September.
Yeah.
And we really don't really need to say anything about it. We can safely assume the disclosure properly, I feel, will be sidelined for a few years. We have some other issues that need to be dealt with. And just about the only other thing then that kept us going pretty much till now was the death of another black eye on the UFO field, a William Cooper, who went down in a gun battle with U.S. police. Farewell to him. And the year ends with the absolute lamest yet of the supposed final answers to what happened in Roswell in 47. This one is breathtaking. Now, I'm a professional writer. If the U.S. government wants to come up with a believable cover story for Roswell, would they please contact a professional? The latest explanation, or supposed explanation, for Roswell is the whole alien saucer crash is a cover for the dropping of either an armed atomic weapon or a target atomic weapon that supposedly flattened out. It looks like a saucer. That the debris field that Brazel talks about just chafe dumped out to confuse radar. Yeah, okay, chafe is not bad. That's as good as it's going to get for the explanation for the metallic materials. But the balsa wood materials, you know, you don't throw a balsa wood to confuse any hummingbirds that are flying along with your aircraft.
Well, or, no, you use the balsa wood to pad the empty shell of the atomic bomb so that when it hits the ground, the bomb flattens, but as it flattens, it opens up and spreads balsa wood or
tinfoil.
Indestructible I-beams all over the place before the bomb flattens down and becomes disc-shaped.
Think about that. We're creating the support for a practice bomb using indestructible I-beams that
are made of balsa wood.
Made of balsa wood that somehow almost don't quite destroy when they get blown out of this thing when it hits the... It wasn't a banner year in UFOs. However, we did get some interesting footage there about 6 weeks back from a gentleman from the UK known as Woods as well.
This is an Englishman who has had many sightings of UFOs. One of these humans who picks up on it, he knows they're up there, he goes outside, he takes his video camera, rolls the tape, and gets really nice footage.
If you're willing to accept the possibility of the UFO phenomenon, the alien experience, it's not that big a leap for me to accept that there might be people who can be triggered. That's not the biggest leap in this field of research. The biggest leap is accepting that we're not alone and that maybe some people do visit from time to time. One thing I've also noticed is that we haven't had quite the nasty little spats in the last few months that the field is prone to.
A little more pleasant than it has been in the past since September, I think.
Mm-hmm. There is a certain civility.
Yeah.
Which was frankly overdue.
Yeah, and of course the moderator at UFO Updates should have been just a little more diligent too, probably.
No, I don't think so. I'm a firm believer in free speech. However, I note with all things, whether it's UFOs or politics, one of the things I'm weary of now are speakers who are deliberately provocative and then surprised when people are provoked.
Who could you be referring to?
Any number of people, although Dr. Greer leaps to mind with his comments that he made in his visit here to Toronto, drumming the disclosure bandwagon, and I find it beneath contempt to suggest that September 11th might have been avoided if the U.S. government had been more open in regards to its knowledge in UFOs. I find the linkage offensive. I find the notion ludicrous. And I find him dismissible. On the other hand, in so many cases, I love the target while disliking the person doing the aiming.
Mm.
I love his goal.
His goal is laudable. Had he gone about it in a completely different way, he might have had a lot more support from the field than he has.
Exactly. And this is not going to improve. And the further linkages he tries for, the further it's going to do.
Unfortunately, him doing what he did fairly much scotched the plans of the initiative project here.
Mm-hmm.
And we put that on the back burner until his circus has run its course.
His circus is going to run its course quickly because he is the lead clown and he's not very funny. Now, on to more pleasant stuff. NASA managed to get its Odyssey finally to Mars.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, now they're trying that aerobraking trip.
Oh, yeah, it's taking a while, isn't it? Because they're doing this elliptical course that gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah, it's an airbraking. And the first thing they discover is, hey, we don't know much about the Martian atmosphere, because guess what? It's thin in some spots, thick in others, and thin at the other end.
Sounds like a dinosaur.
NASA really is not a scientific agency, because hadn't they already had a pretty good clue on the Martian atmosphere?
Getting their meters and inches confused, or was it feet and meters?
Yeah. They keep telling us that Mars has, like, no electromagnetic atmosphere. How come things keep going there and going kablooey then? Mars, it's our near neighbor, other than the moon, obviously, and yet we have inordinate problems. Not just the Americans. The Russians have no better luck getting to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Something's weird with Mars.
Is it the Chinese or the Japanese that are aiming to go there, or is it the Chinese that are aiming to go there?
Chinese are looking at it, but they're also looking for a manned lunar landing within the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll tell us what's on the far side, huh?
Perhaps they will. And, you know, I'd like to point out that the prosperity that we're just watching dissipate now, about a 10 or 11-year economic growth cycle there, was a direct descendant of the lunar exploration Apollo programs of the late 60s. If we'd like our children to have the same kind of economic prosperity, it'd be a real nice idea for us to shell out those tax dollars and get some people to Mars. If we're out there and we encounter a ship, it's going to go a lot better for us than if we're here and they land on our planet.
Well, if they do, I keep saying it, I hope they're friendly, Mike.
Well, so do I.
Yeah, I hope it's not as ugly as the old B-movies.
War of the World.
Yeah.
An argument that circled around this summer was the old, who are they building Star Wars for? Are we building it for ballistic missiles from our planet, or preparing for a real-time adventure in Space Invaders?
Yeah, that's a distinct possibility, isn't it?
Well, that should give all sorts of nice people a real hard time going to sleep tonight, eh?
Mm-hmm. Michael, a nice year-end wrap-up.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Have yourself a good night, and a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you and all of your listeners.
And to you and yours. I look forward to seeing you very soon.
And you shall.
Good.
Take care, man.
Good night. Michael J. Woods, a year-end wrap-up.
You're listening to Strange Days Indeed. We will continue with Errol Bruce Knapp on UFO News Radio, CFRB 1010.